Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a great show tonight on chakras and chakra healings and healing yourself. But, you know, folks, this is different. This is going to be different from other shows that you've heard on chakra energy. Michelle does a great job with pulling in all kinds of information you know, and then she always puts that little zinger in there, that little bit of information that you don't know that makes you go, aha. So if you're really looking to heal your life and move forward, this is the show for you. So stay tuned, take some notes on what we're talking about today, and then definitely go out and get the book because it's going to help you tremendously. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back, but the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. Now, I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love. They heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. And that's MoniqueChapman.com. Excuse me. Do you feel energetic or physical blockages in your body, but you can't figure out why? Have you had countless appointments with doctors and healers only to end up out of money and still feeling terrible? Well, you may want to try healing your chakra. So my guest this evening, Michelle Fondon. She's the author of Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy and The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, is the owner of Ayurvedic Path Yoga and Wellness Studio, where she practices as an Ayurvedic lifestyle counselor and as a yoga and meditation teacher. She holds a Vedic Master's Certificate from the Chopra Center and has worked with Deepak Chopra teaching yoga and meditation. And you can check her out at her website, and that is michellefondonauthor.com. So that's michellefondonauthor.com. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Monique.
I absolutely positively love the book, Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy, Exploring Your 7 Energy Centers with Mindfulness, Yoga, and Ayurveda. What brought you to the point of writing this particular book?
Well, I had been teaching a chakra series in my yoga practice for about 7 years. So I took the summers, and I took 7 weeks during the summer and did the chakras with my yoga students. And it was such a popular series that I made the decision to write about the chakras. And as you read in the book, and we'll talk, I'm sure, about my own journey into healing with the chakras, I decided that, you know, this is really practical advice that a lot of people could have as a part of that practice.
Yeah. Well, you know, you start off the book talking about your experience with the chakras and healings. As early as age 28, when you were diagnosed with a dis-ease that was quite interesting. Why don't you fill our audience in and then share how you worked through that working with the chakras?
Sure. So I was, yeah, as you mentioned, I was 28 years old, and I was the mother of two. My son was barely 2 years old, and my daughter was 5, and, you know, married young housewife with a job and career and a household, and I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And just like any diagnosis of cancer or any other disease that's, you know, relatively serious, it can blindside you, especially when you're young, you know, at any age, of course. But at 28, I was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And it was a real wake-up call because I said, you know, this is crazy. I'm 28, and I thought I had been living a relatively healthy life. And I wanted to get to the root cause of the problem because I knew that if I didn't get to the root cause, that I would surely get cancer or something else again. Mm-hmm. And I made the decision that that wasn't an option. I just said, no, I'm learning my lesson this time around. I'm not going to get this again. And so I need to look deep. I need to really delve deeply into what caused it here. So I began to do a search on alternative healing practices. I had been practicing yoga off and on since about age 18. I had been practicing a mostly vegetarian lifestyle. And, you know, and so I was already open to that type of information, but I knew nothing about the chakras. And I opened up to a book that really changed my mind about healing, and Ayurveda and Ayurvedic medicine was certainly a huge part of that, but I found this little teeny passage in a book that talked about the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And this little teeny tiny passage opened up great avenues for me because I looked at the fifth chakra and I said, whoa, there's something here, because I had had throat problems and issues my entire life. When I looked back at my childhood, I grew up with strep throat, chronic strep throat, and tonsillitis all throughout my childhood. Then when I was 17, I had an abscess in my throat that literally closed up my airway passages and had to be surgically opened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. I had mononucleosis, and I was hospitalized, and this abscess was growing, and blocking off my throat. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so they surgically opened that. And then at 28, the thyroid cancer, and I said, well, there's something going on in the throat, and I need to discover exactly what it is, and I'm going to look at this fifth chakra and understand how I can open and align this part of my body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, was the book that you're referring to, was that the book by Dr. Christiane Northrup?
Yeah, it's called Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. And in fact, in that book, if I recall, it's been a long time. This was back in 1999 when I read it. But it was a really small passage. It wasn't a huge passage. It was kind of an overview on the chakras in that book. And it, like I said, it totally opened me up to the chakra system, and I had never seen that before.
Yeah, well, I think it's amazing how one small passage can just affect your life so profoundly. Maybe out of 300 pages, but it's, you know, maybe
right.
10 sentences, and you're like, oh, okay, got it. And folks, I need to tell you about the book that we're talking about tonight, Chakra Healing. I read it. I'm quite familiar with the chakras. And, you know, there was things that I learned, and I've been in this business for over 30 years. So this is a great book if you're not familiar with the chakra system at all, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Or this is a fabulous book if you've been in this line of business for a while and you think you know everything, and then you start reading and you go, oh, okay, and you're bringing new information. So this is definitely a book to get and to work with, and this is definitely a book that I am keeping on my shelf. And Michelle, that's a big honor because I have got like 1,000 books on my shelf. Okay. So let's cover exactly what is a chakra. I mean, you know, people say it's a Sanskrit word, it's wheels of light. So let's have your definition of what a chakra is.
Right. So a chakra is a part of the energetic body, and as an intuitive, I know you know what an energy body is. Not everyone knows, but we have our physical body, then we have this energy body, which everything is comprised of energy and vibration. So energy, information, energy, and vibration. And so it's within the body, and they're called wheels or discs or spinning vortices. You can think of them as that. And there are chakras all over the body, but there are seven main chakras from the base of the spine that move up through to the crown of the head. And these specific seven chakras correspond to different anatomical regions in the body. So your organs, different blood vessels and arteries and different parts of the body, as well as different aspects of your personality and different aspects of your mental health and your spiritual health. So they really encompass whole health in a specific area of the body. And so when they're open and aligned, we feel well and healthy. And when they're depleted in energy, such as having a blockage, then we feel a little more sluggish in that area, we feel blocked in that area, or if they're excessive, meaning there's too much flow of energy going into that area, we can have different side effects as well that aren't optimal.
Okay. You talk about in the book the seven main chakras, but you also say there are 88,000 chakras within the body.
Right. So Ayurveda looks at, so I really tie in a lot of this tantric knowledge from the tantric texts from whence come the chakra system into the Vedic texts from whence come Ayurveda or Ayurvedic medicine. For those of you that aren't familiar, Ayurvedic medicine is a 5,000-year-old medical system from India, which is a holistic, whole healing type of medical system. So there are points in the body called marma points, and they are, think of them as acupressure points or acupressure meridians in the body. And so the Indian system, the Indian philosophy as well, has these points of acupressure. That's what most people are familiar with, called marma points. And so when we speak about these chakras or vortices of energy and having so many of them, what we're referring to from the Vedic texts are these marma points. And so they're very minuscule or tiny points of energy that can be used in massage and that can be used in things like acupressure. So yeah, that's what that is referring to.
Okay, so with the 88,000, how do they come into a relationship with the seven main chakras that most people are familiar with?
Well, if you think about it, then everything is interrelated in the body. It's just like a tree that has many branches and sub-branches and little teeny tiny branches. So when you heal the macrocosm, so think of the main chakras as being a little bigger area. So they're more concentrated areas of nerves and organs and bodily systems. And then you have the minor chakras or the minor areas that will be healed as an extension of healing the main chakras. So it's just, it's an area of focus, but of course, as in it, this is a Vedic saying, as is the microcosm, so is the macrocosm. As is the macrocosm, so is the microcosm. And so what that literally means is as you begin to heal, things come back into place. And so you don't need to worry so much unless if you're getting body work, which body work is a great way to help heal and align the chakras, or energy work. When you're focusing on your own self-healing, stay focused on the main chakras. And, you know, as you're opening and aligning those main chakras, the rest of the body will be healed.
Okay, so you say get body work, which I'm all for. So you say you sign up and you get a massage. Is it possible during a massage for the masseuse, if they're not of integrity, to try to program negative energy into you while they're working on your body?
I think anything is possible. Anything is possible, but I mean, you got to think about the reason why most people go into something like massage. I mean, there are good and bad in everything, and there are people with good intent and poor intent in every single profession. And, you know, generally speaking, massage therapists are in it not necessarily for the money, but because they like healing people or helping people to heal. And, you know, use your intuition. I would say just use your intuition, and you can always shield yourself before you go into a healing session. You know, you can put, you know, white light around yourself, purple light for spiritual protection around yourself. But as you raise your level of consciousness and raise your level of intuition, you can tell which healers are genuine and which aren't. And, you know, use that sense of intuition. If you don't have that yet, then, you know, Google the person.
Well, I think we all have that sense. It's just sometimes I think we're too lazy to utilize it. Oh, I'm not intuitive. Yes, you are. But
yeah, it's just that awakening. But, you know, we're all intuitive, because if you walk into a room and you can feel tension in that room because a certain person or a set of people in there are creating that tension, that is your sense of intuition.
Right. And, folks, we all have it. Well, folks, we're speaking with Michelle Fondin. She's the author of Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy, Exploring Your Seven Energy Centers with Mindfulness, Yoga, and Ayurveda. Michelle, we've talked about the chakra system a little bit. Why is it so important to engage the chakra system in healing overall?
I really believe that, you know, I like to say that healing is like layers on a cake, and in adding the chakra healing to your overall healing, holistic healing plan adds an extra layer of depth to your healing practice. And just as I said, with my thyroid cancer, when I went through, I did go through traditional treatments because I was so young and because I had a particularly aggressive form of cancer, and they, you know, all the doctors were saying, you know, you're so young, we could just nip this in the bud and take it out and you'll be fine. Just don't play around with this. So while I did that, I still used the other layers. And so I, you know, I did Ayurvedic healing and Ayurvedic diet. I went to a vegan diet. I did only organic foods. I did a whole host of things because I said I want to arm myself and arm my body for healing. And so if I hadn't looked in depth with the fifth chakra in particular, which has to do with your verbal communication, expressing your inner truth, if I hadn't done that, I personally don't believe that my healing would have been to the level that it was, because I wouldn't have looked at it. I wouldn't have looked at things like, why am I not able to speak my inner truth? Why do I feel that I have to people please? Why do I feel like I have to tell different stories to different people in my family just to make them happy? So if I hadn't looked at that, then I would have remained blocked in the area of the throat, and it may not have come out as thyroid cancer, but maybe it would have come out as like chronic laryngitis or, you know, any other ailment of that chakra. So I think that learning about the chakras and learning about healing within the chakras gives you that depth and that added layer of protection in your healing plan.
Okay, and folks, in the book, she does cover different ailments of different chakras, and then she shares information on what you can do if you choose to affect a positive healing. You know, you hear about chakras being blocked all the time. You hear about chakras needing to be in balance, and people are charging umpteen thousands of dollars to balance you out and to unblock you. How can we do this ourselves?
Well, let's just put it this way. You are your own best healer. You and the universe, you and God, whatever you call it. Some people are allergic to that word God. So you and spirit, you and universal consciousness, you and Mother Nature, you are your best healer. So don't think that you have to spend gobs of money in order to heal yourself, because your body has an innate intelligence in order to bring it into healing. And it already does. And that's one thing that we don't think about, that your body is constantly healing on a daily basis. You're always invaded by microorganisms, and your body's consistently getting rid of them. And you ingest toxins, and your body is constantly detoxifying. So bring awareness to your chakras, especially the area in your body. And I always say to people who are new to this is that you have a tendency to get symptoms in a certain area in your body anyway. That's just the way our bodies tend to work. And if you're into Ayurvedic medicine, you know this through your Ayurvedic mind-body type. So let's just say you have chronic constipation and you tend to get very nervous and you tend to be a little bit fearful. Well, that would indicate a blockage in your root chakra. And so if you notice that you tend to get a lot of symptoms that revolve around the area of the root chakra or the description of the root chakra, then start there and really focus on doing grounding yoga poses, adopting a meditation practice, eating grounding foods that are going to help you feel like more close to the earth. Spend time physically on the earth. So go out there and meditate in a forest and put your back to a tree. And in fact, I did one YouTube video on the overview of the first chakra where I was actually sitting against a tree, because I said it feels really good to root yourself to nature. And so there are a lot of different healing practices, including guided meditations that are in the book, but also, you know, diet, and I say if you don't have a meditation practice, even mindfulness meditation, a guided meditation, just do something that it really helps you to, first of all, bring awareness back to your body. Because if you go to a different, you know, a practitioner, what they're doing for you is bringing awareness to your body when you can bring awareness to your body yourself.
Well, what I really enjoyed in the book with working with chakras very quickly is that you have provided the sound of each mantra and like a little mantra that you can say. And I've noticed, I just like went through it when I was reading the book, and I felt a shift. You know, everybody might not be that, you know, in tune to their body, but folks, it does work. And what I also like is that you include the color. And you also include the element. So if you can't get your mind around the sound, you might be able to utilize the color or the element. I think you said to wear emerald green for, like, health and vitality. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah. So the emerald green is the color of the heart. That's your heart chakra. And, yeah, definitely, emerald green is great. And not to mention, if you're into angels and Archangel Raphael, his color, he's the healing archangel, and his color is emerald green. And so, you know, the heart is all about love, compassion, forgiveness, and most of us need a lot of healing around the area of the heart in one way or another. But, yeah, that's just one example of a color that corresponds to the chakra.
Okay. Now, a question for you, and I don't remember this in your book, but say we want to heal, you know, Earth. We want to help Mother Earth out. Could we envision the center of the Earth as an emerald green color to facilitate a healing for Mother Earth?
Definitely. You know, visualization is such a fantastic way. Yes, of course. So lights, and, you know, people that see auras and lights and different colors of light have different healing aspects. So, you know, green is obviously for healing and wholeness and bringing you back into whole health, and including the earth, including animals. You can do this on your animals, and those and people who know Reiki know that you can practice Reiki on animals. And so purple is for spirituality, spiritual connection, and spiritual protection, which also corresponds to the crown chakra. So, you know, just even the intent to visualize purple in the area of peacefulness between people or groups of people can generate the healing energy of peace and unity. So, yeah, visualization is definitely a very powerful tool in using those colors.
Okay, so well, as of this moment when we're recording this, which is actually May 15th, there's a lot of tension going on in the Middle East right now. So if we set the color purple and set the color green, that would help alleviate. I mean, it's not going to cure everything, but it's going to send some positive energy for people to partake of if they should.
Yeah, and, you know, and speaking of that, I know it's part of society to get caught up in the news and get caught up in the social media feeds when we talk about things that are happening in politics, things that are happening around the world, and your energy is much better served than, you know, sending healing light, sending healing intent to those people, to those areas, to those politicians. It's much better served doing that than talking about the events and what is happening. So it's not about what is, it's about what can be. And so just know that you're a very powerful healing vehicle, that you can use your healing energy from within to help heal the world. Just with your intent, just with focusing on healing light, healing energy, rather than talking about what is and the negative, because that doesn't heal anybody.
Right. It just brings more. What we focus on, we bring into our life. So if you want, you know, positivity, bring it in. Talk to us a moment about yoga, tantric yoga, and how it works with the chakras. And I'd like for you, if you would, to just cover yoga in general and how it's beneficial, and then add in the tantra.
Absolutely. So yoga is, of course, it's a healing practice. Some people are just familiar with yoga. The word yoga actually means union, or to bring together, to yoke, to integrate every part of you. So your mind, body, soul, spirit, and your connection to the universe. And most people are familiar with the yoga asana practice or the yoga poses, and that's what most people are practicing in the U.S. But yoga is actually an entire philosophy that integrates social behavior and moral code and living. And as we bring it into our chakra healing practice through the concept of Tantra yoga, which a lot of people, when they hear the word Tantra, they think about sex. And there are videos out there, there's information out there that talks about, like, yoga for couples, and the word Tantra is infused into there. That's a little bit of a misnomer. There is a sexual type of practice that comes with Tantra, but that's not, it has nothing to do with couples. It's mostly about sexual restraint or the harnessing of the creative sexual energy.
Okay.
So that's really what it's about. But when we talk about the Kundalini awakening in Kundalini yoga in specific, we're talking about the rising of this energy force that sits at the base of the spine. And the description and visuals is like two serpents sitting, and it's almost like if you can envision the caduceus sign, the medical sign that we see with the snakes, the serpents going up the middle part, and that's the visual that you want for the chakras. So the energy sits coiled at the base of the spine, and as the chakras awaken through your yoga practice, through your breathing, through focus on opening and healing and aligning the chakras, the yoga poses can help to awaken and align that energy, and that's called the Kundalini energy. So you might hear with Kundalini yoga, with certain specific breathing techniques, and that helps to open and align them. The practices that I outline in the book are mostly Hatha practices with integrated pranayama breathing techniques for each of the specific chakras. And all this does is it just helps awaken that energy. It helps you to enliven and awaken that energy and help you become more focused through the practice of these yoga poses and the breathing.
Okay, now is it possible to awaken this energy too quickly and therefore give some type of danger to ourselves? Because you always hear about, oh, well, you need to really understand Kundalini before you use it.
Here's what I find. I find that most people don't understand their bodies well enough to reach that point of danger. You know, we sit at desks all day. We're inflexible. We sit on the couch to watch TV. We're sitting at our computers. We're not running marathons on a daily basis. We're not, like, out there tilling the field, so we're already physically fit. I think that most people, when they commence a yoga practice, and even a yoga breathing practice, they're just awakening their bodies from being so dormant that, like, any activity will help. The only thing I would guard against is that some people believe, like, oh, I want to achieve this state of enlightenment. I want to achieve this great, beautiful state. Mm-hmm. And so they use artificial means, such as drugs, alcohol. In South America, they talk about these teas that people drink to try to reach these, you know, states of, like, Kundalini awakening and all that. And the idea is that when you reach for artificial methods in order to awaken to a spiritual awakening, it creates a karmic debt. And so that as quickly as you rise into those states of euphoria or those states of connectedness, that when you come off of that, you have a very low. And so there is no easy pathway into enlightenment. It's always work. It's always going back and working on yourself and working through these chakras, working through these layers of yourself. So I don't think there's any great danger for the average person, no.
Okay. Oh, I am so relieved to hear that, because so many people say, oh, my goodness, it's, you know, so horrible, and you're going to just bliss out. And I'm like, well, I don't think so, but
yeah.
One never knows. So we're speaking with Michelle Esponde. We're talking about her latest book, Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy, Exploring Your 7 Energy Centers with Mindfulness, Yoga, and Ayurveda. You can check her out at her website, and that's michellefondenauthor.com. The book is available every place, folks, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, so go get it if you walk into your favorite bookstore, if you can find one, and they don't have it, ask them to order it for you. It's readily available. Michelle, we talked about the chakras. We talked about the tantra. Now, in your book, you also say that it's important to work with the circulatory channels within your body, or and there's 72,000 of them.
Oh, the nadis? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, talk to us about that.
So the nadis are the circulatory channels in the body, and this is very much linked to Ayurvedic medicine. Ayurveda works on, again, opening you up in order to experience perfect health. That's the idea. And so think of your circulatory channels as your veins, your arteries, your digestive tract, your exit from your sex organs. So for men, that would be the ability to ejaculate properly. For women, it would be having a great menstrual cycle and not having, either excessive menstruation or too little menstruation. So it's about having everything, every channel in your body being open and aligned and healthy and vibrant. So think of if you have high cholesterol and you have fatty plaques in your arteries, then those circulatory channels are not open. So think of it as that. So yeah, it's really super integrated. So as you know, that if you have a heartbreak, then your heart suffers. And so everything is linked not only to the foods you eat and what you drink, but also to your emotions. And so when you look at the circulatory channels and you look at a healing system like Ayurveda, it's linked to everything. So it's linked to your energy body, your emotional body, your spiritual body, and keeping everything open and aligned is about integrating every aspect of your health together. So looking for the deeper meaning in your symptoms and illnesses, and hopefully looking for the deeper meaning before it erupts into full-blown illness.
Okay. A couple of questions for you. One is, what chakra would you work with if you're having pain throughout your body? And the second is, what chakra would you work with if you have skin eruptions all over your body?
Okay. So I'm going to answer this from the point of view from an Ayurvedic perspective first, because I'm first and foremost an Ayurvedic practitioner, and then I'm going to link it to the chakras.
Okay.
So generalized pain is a Vata imbalance. So Vata is the Ayurvedic principle or Ayurvedic mind-body type of space and air. Now, here's the thing. When you have pain or when you have an excess of the elements of space and air, what you need is the opposite. So what happens is what we have in our body, when we have a lot of it, we need less of it to help our bodies heal. You need the opposite effect. So if you have excessive Vata in your life and excessive air and space in your life, what you need more of is the more grounding elements of earth and water. So what you would focus on in that case would be healing the first and second chakras. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, cool. So that's the first answer. The second answer is, you said skin eruptions would be a Pitta imbalance. So Pitta is comprised of fire and water. And in the same vein, that skin eruptions are typically more fire than water. So that means there is an excessive amount of the fire element in the body, which is around the area of the solar plexus. And it doesn't mean that your solar plexus is, you've got too much and you're so powerful and have a sense of personal power. It could also mean that the solar plexus chakra is a little bit depleted, or maybe it's too excessive in the sense that maybe somebody is overzealous and they don't have that fire that's reined in, so to speak, and under control. Mm-hmm. So the opposite of the fiery element would be having something a little bit more cooling. So having maybe a little bit more space and air, or having a little bit more of that earthy quality. So with skin eruptions, I would say the space and airy quality would be the first ones to go to. So if that's the case, then go first to your heart chakra and start healing the heart. which is the air element, and then moving up into the fifth chakra, which is the space element. So looking to those two after that. So you always want to do, if there's an excess, if there's a clear eruption of symptoms, you will always want to go for that which is going to pacify those symptoms, which would be the opposite. What is the opposite of that element?
You know, I've often wondered, and I don't have the answer to this. Perhaps you do. When you talk to people who are physically disabled, whether they can't walk or they, you know, something's wrong with their arms, feet, whatever, what chakra has gone awry in that sense, or has one?
Right. So it's really interesting. In another interview, I was talking, I'll just give you this actual example. So in this interview, I was talking with this gentleman who said he was born nearly blind, so legally blind. And, you know, with Coke bottle glasses, you know, he can see a little bit. But he said, so what's the deal? Do I have like a permanently blocked sixth chakra? Is that it? Am I just doomed to life to having this, you know, blocked sixth chakra? And I said, you know, 90% of the time we can tell where illnesses and ailments come from and how to correct them. But sometimes we just come into this existence with homework. You know, we just have homework we have to do. And it could be karma, past life experiences that we've carried forth into this lifetime to work out. And it could just mean that that is our kind of our homework for life. That's just our homework. So I said to him, you know, it doesn't mean that you're being punished or that you'll never have a balanced sixth chakra. It's just, it's about like, this is kind of your thing. Maybe you need to focus more on your intuitive life, about your clairvoyance and not seeing with your physical eyes, but seeing through your third eye, seeing through that eye of intuition. So if someone has a physical disability where one of their chakras in particular is impaired because that area of the body happens to be impaired, it's just look at that as finding the blessing, finding the gift within that area of the body that you can bring forth into the world. It's about a shift. It's about recognizing that.
Okay, so say someone is paralyzed, their legs are not working. With the 88,000 chakras within the system, definitely there's some in the legs. Could they do anything energetically to bring that back? At least the, I'm thinking that maybe the chakras are non-functioning in that area. Is that correct or wrong?
I'm not really aware, but I do know the legs are included in the first chakra, the ground chakra.
Root.
Yeah, so that's very much linked to the root chakra, because of course if you think when you put your feet to the earth, that's your earthly connection as you learn to stand. And, you know, I would just say that it's hard to say, because I have seen people healed not necessarily from full paralysis if they were born with that. I have seen healings take place in a lot of different instances. I mean, there are healers out there that I know for certain have cured people from like stage 4 cancer and different diseases that it's just, it's mind-blowing when you hear stories like that. So I don't know the answer. I'm just going to say I don't know. Anything is possible. Anything is possible with God in healing. Anything is possible.
Yes, it is. And if you only believe, I think there's a song like that in the Negro spiritual sense. Okay, so in your book, you talk about a distinction between men and women working with the third chakra. Could you explain a little bit more about the yin and yang and how all of that fits in? Because
we're
so different in that area.
Yeah, so the chakras also alternate in dominance with masculine and feminine energy, or yin and yang energy. And to clarify, for those of you that aren't familiar with the whole yin-yang, you might have heard the words. Yin energy is female, feminine, lunar, passive, and receiving. And yang energy is more masculine, solar, more aggressive energy and forward moving energy. And we need both, right? We need that incredible dynamic of giving and receiving, of moving forward and staying back. We need that dynamic force. And in the third chakra, it's a solar energy. That's the area of the solar plexus. It's our sun. It is our forward moving masculine energy. And so when I talk about the alternance, and the second chakra is the yin or female energy. When I talk about the alternates, especially in the third chakra, is that men naturally have more of this yang energy because they are hardwired when they're born with more masculine energy. And even if a man is more feminine in nature, you know, they might have more, they might have more yin energy, but as a general rule, men have more yang energy. And it's about embracing the personal power, but living at the highest aspect of this yang or solar energy versus living at a lower aspect, whereas a lower aspect of yang energy can be too aggressive, too angry, too critical, maybe stomping over other people to move ahead in the corporate ladder, whereas is a more evolved form of this yang energy is all about moving forward, but maybe inspiring others and helping others along the way as you're moving up the corporate ladder. Or instead of criticizing others or yourself, maybe applauding others' efforts in building the building blocks as you're moving forward. And women working with the third chakra in this society, in today's society, they tend to be embracing more yang energy just because of the way they're living. If they have a full-time job and they have kids at home and they're taking care of a household and they're like the superwomen that have to do it all, they can sometimes forget about their more feminine, lunar, and passive energy that they naturally have, and then they can go out of balance. Or, for example, men that have been told, don't be so aggressive, don't hold the door for women, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And then all of a sudden, the men who naturally feel inclined to being more assertive in the workplace, to being more, you know, assertive in the household, or being the leader, or being the head of the household, all of a sudden now they're not honoring their more true nature, and so they're confused as to, like, now what am I supposed to do with this? So I really encourage, like, live in your personal power of who you actually are, and don't be ashamed to express who you are, and don't be ashamed that, like, to be a woman. Don't be ashamed to be a man. And I think in this, in today's society, so many, especially young people, so many young people are really confused about their gender roles and, like, is it okay for me to be ladylike and be a woman? And for guys, it's like, is it okay for me to be the gallant, you know, knight on the horse? For, you know, like, is it okay?
Yes, it is.
That's what I say.
Michelle, you are a best-selling author. I want to talk briefly about your other books because the Chakra Healing book has inspired me to go out and get others. Now, one of your books is The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I really wanted to write a book about Ayurveda, Ayurvedic mind-body medicine for beginners, for people that were living in the West, were not too familiar with Ayurvedic medicine, but wanted to be able to apply the practices of Ayurveda into their daily life. And so I divided the book into chapters based on the concept of the wheel of different aspects of your health and healing. So, for example, emotional health, spiritual health, healing your relationships, occupational health, and going into each of these areas with the center of the wheel being your dharma or your purpose in life, your righteous duty or your virtuous path. And I really wanted people to know that they can do other things other than Western medicine in order to help them to regain balance and to heal.
Okay. And then what about enlightened medicine?
So enlightened medicine, Your Power to Get Well Now, is all about integrative medicine. It's literally an integrative approach to healing the seven deadly lifestyle diseases, which chronic illness and chronic disease it ails more than 150 million Americans today in 2018. And it's about taking what you know from Western medicine and taking what I teach in the book about Eastern practices or alternative health practices and being able to marry both systems so that we can overcome this epidemic of chronic lifestyle disease.
Yeah, and you know, folks, when you do that, you won't have that conversation with your doctor of, I don't know what's wrong with you, because you'll have other tools to pull from to help yourself. So it's not about always relying on allopathic medicine. It does have its place, so don't misunderstand that. But I just feel that the more modalities that you have in your toolbox to help yourself, the better. Now, this was an interesting book title, Help. I think my loved one is an alcoholic.
Okay, so that comes from my own personal journey in a relationship with an alcoholic, because I didn't understand what alcoholism was, and I think a lot of people still don't understand what alcoholism is, an addiction. And I wanted to write it from the point of view of compassion and love for the addict in your life, whether it's your mother, father, sister, brother, best friend, husband, wife. And I wanted to write it from the perspective of, this is a person who is extremely ill, and the disease has a life of its own. And it is the most bizarre disease I've studied to date, and most people are still, medical professionals are still baffled by this disease, because it hits people on so many levels. It's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, social, relational, and I wanted people to understand, like, what you can do to help your alcoholic loved one, how to not enable, but also to understand from a compassionate view. And to that end, I interviewed 8 to 10 that are in the book, alcoholics in recovery that have been in long-term recovery, to help bridge the gap between, oh my gosh, I'm a victim of this person who's drinking in my life, to excess, into, how can I understand this person better? How can I be more compassionate and loving to this person who's really, really sick?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so folks, if you have an experience like that within your circle, definitely get the book, because I feel energetically that it's going to help tremendously. And then, of course, since you're a successful yoga studio person, you've written a book on how to run a successful yoga business.
And not go broke.
There you go.
So my personal story is that I ran a yoga studio for 7 years outside of the home. Now I'm running my business inside my home. But I ran a yoga studio outside the home, and I did this with no business experience whatsoever. And I really learned by the seat of my pants and by taking tons of marketing courses and everything to do with how to run a yoga business. But I learned so many lessons along the way. And I really wanted to help new yoga teachers understand the business of yoga and how do I start in my business of yoga. And even if you're not running a yoga studio, as a yoga teacher, as a certified yoga teacher, you are a business. And it's just learning from that business perspective, because as healers, as people who are as compassionate as we are, as intuitives, as yoga teachers, as Reiki practitioners, as meditation teachers, we can sometimes forget that, like, what we do is a business. And we feel like we have to be of service, but then in that air of service, we forget about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we forget that, like, we've got our, like, water bill to pay, and we got to pay our rent. So it's got to be a little more business savvy so you don't drown yourself while you're trying to help other people.
Yeah, or fall into the trap of someone saying, oh, you're spiritual, you're not supposed to make money. You're like, not.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And the last thing is the secrets of the Wheel of Healing with Ayurvedic. That's actually a package that you have. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I do Ayurvedic consultations, and I know not everyone has the financial means to afford my consultations. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I created an entire program based on what I teach in my consultations to my students, on an audio program. So it's an 8-CD audio program with a workbook, which includes the actual book, The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, with another workbook that corresponds to the main book, And it's an entire program that you could study in a month, you could study it in 2 months, but it'll really give you the structure that you need to be able to look deeply at your health on multi-levels and to be able to follow along with me on CD and to have me there guiding you and to help you have your own Ayurvedic program to heal.
Okay. Well, folks, that's actually on special, so check out her website, and then you can see what that is. And speaking of a website, Michelle, when we go to your site, what else are we going to find?
You'll find articles, and one of the biggest things that I'm doing now in the past year is I do a ton of YouTube videos on all of my books. So if you've never heard of the word Ayurveda and you want to know what the heck it is, I have like 40 videos on my YouTube channel and links from my website. So you can learn all about Ayurveda and Ayurvedic medicine, and the same thing with the chakras, the same thing with enlightened medicine. So I have videos that are very much themed toward the books that I write. So you can get that better connection with me via video. But I also, you know, as I mentioned, I also do consultations, angel readings, and everything that I teach in my books, I also do in coaching and one-on-ones.
Okay, so if we went to your YouTube site and we just put, well, went to YouTube and just put in your name, it will everything
Michelle
just
Fondon
pop up.
Author. Michelle Fondon okay. Author, yep. Michelle Fondon Author is my YouTube channel, and I have 2 YouTube channels. That's just the way it started. I have no idea why I have 2, but I do. YouTube won't let you necessarily, like, merge them together, but so this one is Michelle Fondon Author. You'll see it has close to 200 videos on it.
Okay, cool. So, folks, you know, you get some information to heal yourself, definitely go out and get her books. As I said, they're available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, or go into your favorite bookstore. It's a small investment in yourself that's going to help you heal yourself. And, of course, the choice is always yours. So, Michelle, and to the audience, I thank you for being with me tonight as we collectively get over it and embrace chakra healing. The divine in me honors the divine in you. When you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the radio show. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. And make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of chakra healing. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.